The Tyranny of the Lie. My all-girls high school was like any other with its typical array of cliques, the pretty, the ugly, the jocks, brains, geeks, and the occasional total misfit. But the fact that it was a boarding school added another variable, particularly since I was a distant boarder, traveling all the way from the Chicago suburbs to Boston, while most of the other boarders came from the East Coast. I generally felt totally intimidated by the sophisticated East Coast crowd, who at one end of the spectrum had the polished upbringing of the upper crust, and at the other end were hip, at least in my naive assessment. These were the girls who probably were sneaking down to the river to smoke weed, or who devised workarounds to the restrictive parental hours and invited boys up to their dorm rooms. When I first arrived at school, I immediately realized that I was so far behind. I felt like a Midwestern hick. I knew that I was never going to be cool or hip, but at the very least, I thought I could scratch out an identity as being with it. The first thing I did was shorten all of my skirts by at least 5 inches, from just above the knee to a virtual scrap of material that made it impossible to modestly bend over for a pencil. On the weekends, we were allowed to wear pants, and I wore standard-issue hip huggers with a thick leather belt with an enormous brass ring for a buckle. I suffered for the look, because whenever I bent over, the brass ring would give my waist an excruciating pinch. The following year, a cousin of mine was due to arrive at the same school, and I thought I could give her this key piece of advice. When I called her, she said, "Wow, my skirts are already pretty short. In fact, I don't think they could get much shorter." She was as good as her word. She arrived on campus already decked out in a mini, and she was also ahead of the curve in shedding her bra, that article of clothing we had been so desperate for a couple of years earlier. She was brazenly braless, with large breasts happily bobbing about, and certainly didn't need any advice from me. I modified my aspirations early on. When we first arrived at school, I lived across the hall from Sybil, a beautiful girl who was seriously cool in her disdain for authority and her worldly views. She also made the varsity field hockey team, while I was relegated to the junior varsity. We spent a good deal of time together in those early days, but I came to realize our so-called friendship was based on the random proximity of dorm assignments, and we quickly drifted apart. However, I knew when Sybil's birthday was, and bought some decorations and refreshments for a dorm party. When I told Judy what I had done, she said, "Oh, we celebrated her birthday last night. Sorry." My revised with it goal was the successful negotiation of the cafeteria, having enough confidence to join Amy, Jane, Barbara, or Judy at a table, and the real coup would be if they chose to sit with me. I focused my strategy on my wardrobe. Occasionally I would take the train into Cambridge to buy hip clothes, like brightly colored Nehru jackets or embroidered Mexican wedding shirts. I had heard that a store called Truc was de rigueur for a genuine 60s look. The store looked downright dangerous, located down some stairs and around a corner into a basement, murky with penetrating incense. Loud Jimi Hendrix music was pumping away, and the salesperson was an enormous man with an abundant afro, who wore tiny rose-tinted granny glasses halfway down his nose. He was swaying to the music and stared vacantly off into the distance. When I asked if I could try on some gray and white striped pants, he just nodded his head toward the changing stall in the corner. I could totally understand his scorn and disinterest. After all, he certainly was a real hippie who had earned the right to wear very tight pants with huge bell-bottoms. In contrast, there was nothing in my life that would ever qualify me as a hippie, and I was really looking more for a costume than clothes. The changing room was basically a closet, with no door and only very unsubstantial strings of beads that vibrated with the pounding music. I did a token effort to try on the pants, since I was afraid that at any moment someone could brush open the swinging beads. Also, I don't think that I'd ever changed in such close proximity to a man, much less a man with a huge afro and granny glasses. I heaved a sigh of relief as I escaped from Truc with my virtue intact and my new favorite pants under my arm. I wore the pants often and was wearing them the night I unexpectedly reached my goal. It was a crisp fall night, probably my junior year, and I found myself amiably mixing with my target social group, knowledgeably talking about such things as the movie The Graduate or Goodbye Columbus, which was pretty racy since one plotline prominently featured a diaphragm. I felt that I was holding my own in witty repartee. I wasn't a wannabe. I was an equal contributor. I had finally made it. And then it happened. Suddenly, our whole group was draped in a cloying veil of greasy stench. I had never experienced such a wretched fart, and it couldn't be ignored. Conversation stopped. Lips curled, noses winced, and everyone shuddered. "Who farted?" three people said at once, and all eyes darted around, waiting for the confession. I froze. Everything had been going so well, and I could not bring myself to admit that it was all mine. All the other girls were close friends, and probably would have no shame in fessing up. Maybe it had happened many times before to much laughter and camaraderie, with exchanges of past schoolyard phrases, "She who smelt it, dealt it," or "She who denies it, supplies it." But I just couldn't do it. I felt that this type of confession could only be shared among anointed members of an inner circle. I certainly didn't know this group well enough to joke about my SBD, silent but deadly. The seconds ticked away as everyone stared at each other, and the realization grew that someone was lying, and it certainly had to be me, the interloping outsider. My window of opportunity was closing, and then it was gone. I became trapped in the tyranny of the lie. It had only been a couple of seconds, but my silence had clearly established me as a liar. If I confessed now, I would have to explain my hesitancy, how I didn't want to scuttle my opportunity for acceptance by admitting to an innocent fart. How many TV courtroom dramas have I seen where the lawyer pounds away at a witness who has changed her story? "So you told the police one thing, and now you're telling us something else? Were you lying then, or are you lying now?" Bill Clinton's first lie about Monica Lewinsky was probably an understandable effort to avoid humiliation, but then we all had to watch as he flailed around in the tight clutches of the tyranny and valiantly tried to exonerate himself with his peculiar definition of the word "is." What had started as a simple lie turned into a festering, purulent boil that had to be publicly popped, spewing forth the most humiliating details of his dalliance with Monica. And how about all those steroid users and juicers whose righteous indignation at accusations turned into an exhausting full-time job in lie maintenance? I could have warned Bill, Lance Armstrong, and Roger Clemens. Mine was only a fart, but there is forgiveness for a sin, but no forgiveness for the lie. I should have yelled to the heavens, "I smelt it and I dealt it and it's all mine." And if I had played the moment just right, with a deft combination of humor and feigned humiliation, I think I might have reached my goal and become part of the group based on a memorable shared experience. Perhaps I could have said, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Nobody should be subjected to that. But I gotta say, on most days, my farts smell like home cooking." But I blew it. I just didn't have the social skills to pull it off. My chummy little interlude with the social elite was over. Everyone quickly drifted off to escape the foul odor, and I never found myself in their company again. Actually, it was me. I never tried. I was tainted.